Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Friday, April 3rd, 2020. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, hope you're safe, hope you're healthy, hope you're practicing social distancing, hope you're washing your hands as we try to make it through all of these times that we're dealing with together. It is Friday, which means we made it to the weekend, and hopefully you've got some fun weekend plans. Maybe you're going to watch a movie with the fam, play some board games, play some video games, whatever you got going on. We certainly hope that it's going to be a good time. We've had a great time, honestly, this past week on the Blog on the Boys podcast. We have a lot of episodes. If you're looking for stuff to listen to, we have tons of fresh content available for you. This has been a jam-packed week with guests all over the place. Of course, as we've been trying to bring in a lot of different friends, a lot of different people to give you different perspectives, to give you different things to chew on. We've got episodes up of the 750 on Thursday. Tony Casillas and I discussed the Troy Aikman, Tony Romo debate that's happening across the internet. After this, on Friday, we'll have a brand new episode of Talk in the Draft for Connor Livesey, who was on Thursday's episode of The Ocho. Connor and Dalton Miller go through what they titled the worst mock draft of all time, but it's definitely worth checking out. And then on Saturday, we have a brand new episode of Bruising the Boys coming your way. So we've got a lot coming your way throughout the weekend to make sure you stay entertained. If you want more things to listen to, hey, I'm on the Blitz every day while we're living in these circumstances. You can listen to me and Rob Thompson and Jason Minix on 1250 AM, 94.5 FM in San Antonio, on the go at ESPNSA.com. If that's your cup of tea, whatever you want to do. We want to make sure you have options and certainly want to give you different alternative things to listen to. For what it's worth, my Saturday morning show, the Saturday Morning Hangover, will return. We now have the technology to be able to do it from remote places so that we do practice social distancing. So tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time, you can hear myself and James Pledger. We will, of course, throw one of those segments here on the podcast feed for you as well. We have a very special treat for you today. Obviously, Thursday night was wild when it was reported that the Dallas Cowboys signed pass rusher Aldon Smith. That's why Connor and I jumped on to kind of talk about it, go into detail into what we thought, and try to figure a lot of things out. And so while I think we pieced together the puzzle pretty accurately, it's always helpful to get the opinions of those who know best. And nobody knows better than Ron Slavin, the agent for Aldon Smith. Ron was kind enough to take some time to join us, discuss kind of what into the Cowboys and Aldon Smith coming together, where Aldon Smith is at in his life. And Ron also represents Leighton Vander Esch and a couple of other Cowboys. So he offers some perspective on Leighton because people certainly have questions about the Cowboys star linebacker. So with all that being said, we're going to go ahead and get to it, right? I mean, I'm not going to dilly-dally. This is a great interview, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So with all that being said, here he is. Ron Slavin joins us next, right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now by a very special guest, the one and only, I'm sure, a master of puzzles by this time in the quarantine. From Sports Stars, represents the newest member of the Dallas Cowboys, Aldon Smith, Ron Slavin. Ron, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
Have you in fact mastered any puzzles since you've been quarantined at home?
I have a 9 and 11-year-old, so we've done a couple puzzles. Yeah. It's always a competition, though, and whoever doesn't put enough pieces of the puzzle in gets taunted a little bit.
Really? So So my wife and I don't have kids yet. We've got a dog though. So no puzzles there, but so it's like a contest to whoever can put the most. Do you count them?
Everything's a competition.
Okay. You doing any like Fortnite with them right now while this is all going on?
My 11-year-old addicted to Fortnite, but we only let him play on weekends.
Oh, okay. Well, I bet that's probably a bit more challenging these times.
Yeah, it's a battle.
Well, so how has your day-to-day operations as an NFL agent been different? I know, obviously, a lot of what you do involves phone calls and emails, and I'm sure Zoom is something you're not a stranger to, but how has all this impacted your line of work?
It's just no travel. You know, this month I would have been at Boise State's Pro Day. I would have been at Baylor's Pro Day, TCU's Pro Day, Houston's Pro Day, Georgia's Pro Day. So I would have done a bunch of Pro Days. The Cowboys are supposed to start their off-season stuff next week, so I would have been out there seeing. I got a bunch of guys on the Cowboys, Leighton Vander Esch, Joe Thomas, Darian Thompson, Cody Wickman, and now Alden Smith.
Right, so you've been busy negotiating new deals for basically everybody on that list outside of Leighton, just about. And so, so your phone has certainly been busy. You're based in Dallas, right? And so, you've not that far of a trip and whatnot to get to the Star. But you mentioned Alden Smith, and so this news surprised, I think, not just Cowboys fans but really NFL fans. It's well chronicled that Alden Smith has. Been making his way back into the NFL, hasn't played since 2015. What can you tell us? I mean, kind of give us the new Alden Smith 101.
So Jay Glazer contacted me in December, along with a couple other league people, about Alden and the work he's been doing with Jay at Unbreakable and also with Jay's program, MVP, merging vets with players. And just told me what a great job Alden has done and wanted to know if I had interest. And I said, sure, but I'd obviously like to meet Alden face-to-face, man-to-man conversation. Mm-hmm. So Alden flew to Dallas. We met, we hung out for a couple of days. And then once he told me he was, he'd like to go with me as his agent, then we got the ball rolling to start the reinstatement process. And then I went to the combine, told all the teams the reinstatement process started. Alden has been clean and sober since August. And leaving the combine, I had 6 to 8 teams that had interest. And then it was 3 or 4 teams here the last couple of weeks where I said, look, we want to start getting this going because I know the coronavirus is, guys aren't going to be back at the facilities, but Zoom meetings and things are going to start happening. I'd really like Alden to be a part of a team as soon as possible so we can get him in the programs he needs to be in at whatever city we end up in. And then just kind of went from there.
That's really interesting. And I think 6 to 8 teams, people kind of perk their ears and are obviously everybody's going to kind of go back and I imagine look at some rosters and look at some depth charts and try to figure out who all was interested. You mentioned Jay Glazer and his MVP foundation. So I interviewed Jay at the Super Bowl in Miami and he talked about that. And he talked about Mike McCarthy, who's obviously the new Cowboys head coach. And he told a story about how in working with Mike once, he introduced Mike to a veteran that had, really turned his life around and contemplated suicide and thank God, got everything back in order. And that on a moment's notice, Mike McCarthy cut a check for $100,000 to help Jay Glazer sort of further this cause. And obviously all this work is great. And I know Jay has been an instrumental part in Alden's road back to the NFL. It seems like everything Jay Glazer has done has kind of affected the 2020 Cowboys, what with Mike McCarthy now as the head coach and Alden Smith coming back. And what all exactly, I think, because people have an idea of what players do with Jay Glazer, but what exactly goes on there? I mean, besides the physical part of the recovery.
So Jay's program out there and, he's starting to open them across the country. I think the plan here is that Mike McCarthy and Alden are going to start a merging best players program here in Dallas. Is they work out together. It's in a mixed martial arts type gym. And then once they're done working out, everybody works out, they get in a big circle and it's therapy session. Everybody tells their stories or people have to get things off their chests. It's just a real bonding experience. So Jay has witnessed that with Alden since August and just seeing the growth and how much Alden has helped people in his program. So that's what I needed to hear. You know, that's what I'd like to hear from Jay, but then also seeing Alden and just talking to him. I mean, Alden Smith's a great human being. He just had some really bad alcohol issues that led him down a path of destruction. And when Alden Smith is sober, there's not a better person or a better player on the field than Alden. So I was just going through that with Jay and kind of hearing all the things that happened. And then Coach McCarthy, you know, saw him before he was anything. You know, Jason Garrett was trying to coach the Cowboys into the playoffs still at the time when Mike had met Alden and been out there. So all that was part of it.
That's interesting. Obviously, this is a really fascinating story, and Alden has really reached some incredible peaks so far in his NFL career. And I think he's such a fascinating, player now with this story. How much would you say the weight of the new collective bargaining agreement sort of had a role in Alden potentially finding a new team? Because I think the average NFL fan sort of understands it on a superficial layer, you know, to the point of, oh, you know, now guys can smoke weed. And I think that's what everybody assumes. But was that at all part of maybe, you know, opening doors of conversation, or were things kind of, you know, in a separate entity from that?
No, this had nothing to do with that, because it doesn't have anything to do with marijuana and the testing process. And I think that's a misconception too, that the new CBA is going to, all these guys are going to be able to come back into the right. league. No, I mean, if you have DUIs, if you have cocaine or Molly or any of these other drugs, steroids, HGH, I mean, all those things are still a part of it. It's just that the marijuana testing is not as stringent and is not as often, and the penalties aren't as bad. But the rest of that has nothing to do with it. And Alden Smith, his one thing has always been alcohol. So that's just, you know, staying clean and sober with the alcohol is the main thing with Alden.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up. You've sort of done a little bit of media rounds. You and I were talking on Thursday, and you dropped some sort of physical measurements that Alden's got going on, including a body fat percentage. Can you go into detail about that? Because I think when the tweets popped out, nobody believed it.
Alden's he's been working his tail off since August, and those were, I mean, you see what type of shape the UFC fighters are in. That's the type of shape Alden's in. I mean, his 275 pounds and 68% body fat, depending if you put them in a bod pod or, you know, how people test it. But there's some workout videos that I've seen. I mean, I was obviously with him in person, but the workout videos where, I mean, there's not a lot of fat, and it's a lot of muscle.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all a little jealous.
The power that Alden Smith generates as a 6'6", 275-pound human being is amazing. And I know people are going to say he's been out of football for so long. How does he just think he's going to come back in? There's not a lot of guys like Alden Smith. There aren't guys who, I mean, he had a sack a game first 2 years in the league. And he had one, remember the Monday Night Football game? He had like 5.5 sacks. Like, he does things that nobody, I mean, if he wouldn't have got off track here with the substance abuse issues, who's to say he wouldn't be like Chandler Jones, Von Miller, probably bigger numbers than those guys.
No, and to your point, you know, that sort of time that 49ers, not dynasty, but, you know, that little run they had. I mean, those were the conversations. Who's the best pass rusher from the class of 2011? Is it Alden? Is it JJ? Is it Vaughn? I went to Texas A&M, so I'm a little bit biased, it's Von Miller. But I guess, you know, that is the question. And I know you kind of answered it, but obviously you wouldn't have agreed to work with Alden if that wasn't the case. Do you really believe that he just is that special from a physical perspective that he can show up 5 years later and given, you know, what he's been doing and the work he's done, both on and off, I don't want to say the field, but in the weight room and in a physical sense, he can just show up and he can be a contributor at the NFL level?
Yeah, I think, you know, I just think there's certain people that are made to be professional athletes. And I mean, I represent Adrian Peterson, and, you know, he had a couple years in a row where he didn't do anything. And when I got the Redskins to work him out and he showed up for the workout, they're like, wow, you know, and now here we are 2 years into the thing and he's still playing for the Redskins. I think there's a certain people that are made for it, and Alden Smith is made for this. And yes, he turned 30, but he has no wear and tear on his body for the last 4 years.
You mentioned Adrian Peterson. I don't think it's said enough. He looks good in the Redskins uniform. Like, it's a great look for him. Just some guys kind of fit that, you know what I mean? And I think Alden will pop in a Cowboys uniform. And I guess that's sort of my, my next question. I think, you know, we've sort of answered why the Cowboys would have interest in Aldon Smith, but, you know, beyond, I guess, the obvious, why would Aldon Smith be interested in the Cowboys?
I think he felt comfortable with my plan, the Cowboys' plan, and kind of we're all on the same page for to make sure he's successful off the field and continues on the right track. And then knowing Mike McCarthy, knowing Jim Tomsula, who is his coach in San Francisco,
right.
He has a really good relationship with Gerald McCoy. So there's some other people too on the roster that he knows well and feels comfortable with. And then, you know, as we kept going through it, you know, the Cowboys were communicating with me on a daily basis, and some of the other teams were too. But then there's some other teams that are kind of just weren't as organized, I guess I should say, or just not as on top of it, or maybe had the vision. And I never wanted to push Aldon towards any team. I wanted him to make this decision for himself. I wanted him to be comfortable with it. And, you know, a few days ago he called and he was like, I see it now. The Cowboys are where I need to be.
That's really interesting. What was it like getting the deal done in the current times of the world? I mean, was that part any different? I mean, I'm sure you could fax things.
I mean, I had told people at the combine what my plan was, how I wanted him to be successful off the field and make sure that we had him doing all the things so he continues down this path. Mm-hmm. But then kind of a structure of the deal. And I know people are saying, oh, this is nothing more than a minimum salary. Well, I love people on Twitter who tweet things and don't pay attention. So, you know, he's going to make $440,000 before he even plays a game. And
right. People
are like, oh, that's not the guy hasn't played football in 5 years. So that's the big deal. That's a commitment that the team made that other teams were willing to make. Other teams are willing to commit once he made the roster in September. But my whole thing was, let's get him. I mean, this is before the coronavirus outbreak got to the point that it did, but give him incentive and show him that you're making a commitment to him too, like he's going to come make a commitment to your organization. So, you know, getting that type of money in his hands before he plays an actual real snap on a Sunday was a big deal to him. And then all the other parts of it that, you know, I can't speak on, but the way that we're going to keep everything organized for him off the field too, Dallas just had the best plan.
That's interesting. And I think, if it were me, I would feel some sort of wave of, you know, niceness, I guess, if a team wanted to sign me at this point before the draft. I mean, that's a bigger commitment than, you know, after the draft and those cards have kind of fallen and been put into different places and whatnot. Obviously, to your point, the coronavirus and everything has sort of altered the way things go, but it makes sense that you wanted to get him in a building and get things going and get things moving and get things grooving. I guess sort of in closing, have you ever, you know, been in a situation, you mentioned Adrian Peterson, I guess that's maybe the answer, but a player like this, a situation like this where you're dealing with all the Twitter, you know, I don't want to say outrage, but Twitter comments on this, because this is a really interesting player that the Cowboys have signed.
This is my 21st year as being an agent, and it's, you know, when I first started, there wasn't even Twitter, there wasn't Instagram, there wasn't any of these things. And I've commented on this before, but I'm not a big fan of any of it. I think we live in this false world of a bunch of fakeness. Mm-hmm. And with the fakeness comes the Twitter tough guys and, you know, the internet bullies and all the other things that come with it, that 99% of these guys and women and whoever else that are talking trash on Twitter, if they walked out of their house, they couldn't take one punch. I'm sure 99% of them are glass Joes. So if you ever played Mike Tyson's Punch Out, or maybe you're too young to ever play that game, but, you know, so we live in this world, man, where nothing's really real anymore, and people can say whatever they want, and people don't get facts. And I mean, we have politicians in our world that just say things that aren't true anymore. And we have all these things that nobody cares anymore about the fact checking and about what maybe somebody has been through and all these other things. So have I been in a situation like this before? Not this exact situation, but I mean, I represent professional athletes for a living, and we're dealing with stuff all the time. I mean, I've had guys accused of things that they never did and lost out on millions of dollars, and all these things happen to players because of the way things are portrayed on the internet. So yeah, you know, I'm not a guy that actually gets out here and talks a lot, and I don't do a lot of radio. I don't do a lot of interviews, but during these last 30 days, I felt like, not just for Alden's case, but, you know, other situations, I feel like for maybe I could be one of these guys who actually, this is the truth teller. Mm-hmm. The profession I'm in, there's not many people who would tell the truth. There's a lot of guys that just BS their way through it. I think that's why a lot of players end up broke and a lot of players make bad decisions, because they're represented by people just going to BS them and hand them bags of cash and do a bunch of shady stuff to be an agent. That's just not the way I operate. I try to tell guys the truth and give them exactly what's going to happen through processes that we go through, whether it's the draft, free agency, when they're retiring, whatever it is. I'm not ever going to BS people. I'm going to do things the right way. And this is another situation like that where, you know, I took on Alden because I really want to see a happy ending to this story. Alden's a really good person who just has some demons, and I really believe he's figured it out, and I'm going to do everything I can to help him be successful, like I do for all my guys. And, you know, every situation is different. But that's probably a long-winded answer to your question, but, you know, this is a different situation, but I'm doing everything I can to make sure that Alden's successful.
Hey, everybody, going to get back to Ron Slavin in just a moment. But before we do, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Let's finish strong. Ron Slavin on The Ocho. I think that's well said. And I think the uniqueness of it is exacerbated by the, you know, climate that we're in. And I think that, you know, from the perspective of handling it and, you know, right now people, you know, like any sort of, you know, bright light that waves in front of us is far more entertaining and interesting than it usually is. You know what I mean? And so there's, I think, more attention and more attention paid on just everything happening right now. To your point, I mean, you're counting puzzle pieces. So, you know, it's just that kind of world. Second to last one for you, Ron, what's the biggest misconception while you're out here sort of getting rid of all the false narratives in the world? What's the biggest misconception you see about this time of year on Twitter?
Are we talking about the draft? Are we talking about real life? What are we talking
anything,
about?
Anything. Some that you've looked at your phone before and you've wanted to like throw it in a lake because you're just like, how can people possibly think this?
Well, because we're in the draft world right now, I mean, there's so many guys out. Like, there's so many people that discuss the NFL draft that I guarantee you have never talked to a decision maker, scout, sure, general manager in their life. And they go on Twitter and, you know, say things that are just wrong. I mean, we've talked about, you know, I represent Leighton. And when Leighton came out, everyone was like, oh, he's Boise State linebacker. Why is he coming out? He's trash, blah, blah, blah. And I actually I don't usually do this, but I hit up a couple guys on Twitter. Actually, one of them is a Dallas Cowboy based guy. And I was like, you have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, if you looked at the film, he's like, yeah, he's a below average linebacker, you know, this, that, the other. And I'm like, did you watch the Oregon game?
Yeah.
Because I really believe that Oregon game might have been the best bowl game I've seen in the last, 20 years of doing this. Like, Leighton was ridiculous that game, and he was dominant. And, you know, the guy's like, oh, you know, he's okay. And so I said, look, I've been representing players from Boise State for all these years. It's not even close. He's the best athlete. He's the best person. And he's going to be a top 20 pick. And I actually just pulled it up, and he's like, I've seen 6 games now, including the Oregon game. I think he's a good player. I just don't see a first-round player. I don't even know if he's a top 100. Doesn't mean he can't get there. You know. So anyway, so it's all BS, right? So the guy never talked to anybody. He probably watched 2 or 3 clips of a guy and went out and started blasting this kid for coming out early. Lo and behold, he goes to the combine, has a Brian Urlacher type combine, and goes 19 overall and had one of the best rookie years anybody's ever had, not just in a Cowboy uniform, but in any uniform.
Right.
So the draft process is, there's so many people now that have an opinion that have no idea what they're talking about. They're not talking to people making decisions. They're not picking these kids. And because you watch a highlight clip of somebody, or because you watch one game of someone, then you all of a sudden have an opinion on a player. It's just crazy to me. So that's the biggest thing that drives me nuts now is the draft so-called gurus who don't talk to anybody.
Well, the language around draft season is pretty standard. You know, you kind of get used to it. Like, you know, maybe like a week after the Super Bowl, it's okay, what tape are we grinding on today? And you're right. I mean, that Oregon game was kind of the tweet going around late in the year. Like, who's watched the Oregon game? You know, because obviously it was such an incredible performance. And you're right, Leighton, obviously a fantastic player. I would be remiss, and I think the listeners would be mad if I did not ask. I think just what would you say to people who are concerned about Leighton heading into 2020?
I think the misconception too on Leighton's injury was, you know, he came out and he had the stenosis and, you know, it was a major risk and yada, yada, yada. And I know those losers at Walters Football had put out that Leighton failed all these tests and all this BS. Well, the funny thing was, I had actual pictures of his medical grade from the combine. So he was like, he had a 4 out of 5, right? So it obviously wasn't what those losers had to say. So,
one more time, losers. We got to hit a third losers.
There's one guy there, man. He's a complete loser. And he put out something else on one of my guys the other day. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're clueless. But anyway, so yes, this had to do with the stenosis, but two, it was a problem that probably needed to be fixed at some point. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he had the injury this year and it's fixed. And I said it earlier today, he feels as good as he ever has because of that tightness and that issue that he's always had with his shoulder and getting stingers and playing with one arm at one point this year is fixed. And he feels so much better. And now it's just a matter of getting all of the strength back and getting back to the guy he was coming out. Because I don't know if you ever saw those before and after pictures when he got to Exos January 1st when he left Boise and then right before the combine. I mean, it's the before and after pictures. Exos should use those for the rest of their life marketing, their training facility. But he's going to get back to being that guy, and I expect a huge year out of him this year. And I think, you know, another funny thing is Mike Nolan was a huge advocate of Leighton to the Saints. After the combine, Leighton's first visit was to the Saints. And when the Saints traded up that night,
for Davenport,
if they're not getting Davenport, they're going to get Leighton. Mm-hmm. And they ended up taking Davenport, but I know how big a fan Mike was of Leighton, and Mike had taken Leighton around all over the facility. That was like Leighton's go-to guy with the Saints that year during the draft process. So Leighton's really excited to be playing in Mike's defense, and I think they're going to do some cool stuff with him. And Leighton's never coming off the field again like he did last year, which was ridiculous on passing downs. So those types of things are going to be fixed. And I expect a big year out of Leighton.
Well, that's really interesting. And I think that's another example of how disconnected perhaps the draft community is from real life. Because to your point, when the Saints traded up, like Twitter was just overrun with, this is for Lamar. You know, they're coming up to get Lamar Jackson because Drew Brees is close to retirement. And like everybody, you know, for those 30 seconds had all their money in on it being Lamar Jackson. I live in San Antonio, so the fact that it was Marcus Davenport was kind of cool. But anyway, that was a really fun night.
You got all the Cowboys listeners here. This is a true story here at Leighton too, is that through the whole, so when I signed Leighton in, on New Year's Eve that year, and we were at the Cowboys club, and he wanted to be a Cowboy. Like, that was his whole thing. He's like, I wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy my whole life. And that night I was like, you're going to end up being a Cowboy. I got the feeling, you got the feeling, we're going to make this happen. You go train your butt off. You do what you got to do at the combine. They got a need at the position. You're going to be a Cowboy. So throughout the whole process, he was like, I want to be a Cowboy. I want to be a Cowboy. I want to be a Cowboy. So you know, all day during draft day, I knew that the Cowboys liked Derwin James and Vita Vea. Those are two other guys that they're very high on. So the whole time I'm like, this is what needs to happen. And if the Cowboys don't take you, the Lions at 20, the Patriots at 23, and you won't get past the Steelers at 28. So the whole time we're seeing things happen. Vita Vea goes to Tampa, and then Derwin James goes to the Chargers, and Seattle's at 18, and I got a good relationship with the guys of the Seahawks, and one of the guys texted me, like, we're trading out. And I'm like, oh, man.
Like, oh, so you're worried it's the Pats or the Lions or Steelers or whoever.
Right. Yeah. Someone's going to jump, or the Titans, actually. So the whole, because the Titans kept asking me,
because they took Rashawn Evans. Right. Yeah.
Right. But the whole time they're asking me, what do you think Cowboys are doing? I'm like, I had an idea what they're doing, but I'm like, I don't know. I think they're taking a receiver. And everybody here wanted the Cowboys to take a receiver. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there. And then the minute Seattle traded with the Packers, I knew we were good because the Packers had told me they were taking a DB. I didn't know which one. So the minute, and right next to us was Jerry Alexander's table. So the minute his phone rang, I was like, yes, the Packers took him. Leighton's phone rings, and then Jerry calls. The first thing Jerry says to Leighton is, this is the Green Bay Packers. And Leighton, because I told Leighton that the Cowboys are going to be calling him, be ready. And we got video of it. And you see Leighton's face right when he answers. And it was so funny because Jerry messed with him, the Packers still on the clock, and Leighton's heart dropped. And then next thing you know, the Cowboys take him in Dallas,
right,
where I live. I mean, all that stuff is pretty sweet.
That is really cool. I imagine it's, I know you don't have favorites and things like that, but I imagine when you know a guy wants to go to a certain team, kind of watching that happen has to be just like the sickest thing in the world. Just seeing everything, not only that you wanted, but in a way planned, kind of clicking and falling together. It's like when you finish a puzzle, you know what I mean? Like, it's a really satisfying thing, except this is like a multi-billion-dollar puzzle, you know? So a little bit of a different thing. But that's interesting, really interesting perspective on the 2018 draft. And what all went into it. I remember that night vividly, and Jahir's been a great player and kind of burned the Cowboys since then, but Leighton's been a better player. That's ultimately what everybody cares about. So thanks for the info on that, Ron. We're excited about Alden, and I think every Cowboys fan's rooting for him, both on and off the field. And, really, what can – last thing for us, what do you got on Netflix? I know you've been hitting the Fortnite and puzzles and everything, but have you watched anything? Any non-Tiger King thing? I'll say that.
Ozarks.
Oh, you're an Ozark guy?
Ozarks is an amazing. Yeah, Ozarks and Narcos are my two Netflix shows that I don't miss. Oh, and then, Peaky Blinders hasn't come out with anything lately. So we just finished Ozarks last night, and one of the great, Jason Bateman and the rest of the whole cast, I think, mm-hmm. is some of the best acting I've seen in a long time.
Okay. Well,
you watch Ozarks?
I'm still on like the fourth episode of season two of Ozark. So I need to catch up. But so season three came out this week. So you already knocked it out?
Yeah, we were doing like 3 hours a night. And then last night, because my wife can't fall asleep after watching it, because it freaks her out. Uh-huh. Last night, the kids were playing it outside. So I was like, here's the deal. We're going to watch it from 6 to 7. So I don't have to hear you complain that you can't sleep at night after watching. Because we knew the last episode was going to be crazy. So we knocked it out before it got dark out and had to worry about any drug cartel people shooting us or anything.
Well, that's, you're living a pretty intense life these days. It's been a busy week for you, Ron. Thanks so much for the perspective on Alden and the story on Leighton. I think you got every Cowboys fan pretty hyped. Best of luck the rest of this month. I know you're going to be on a lot of phone calls, and I know you don't do a lot of media, so really appreciate you taking the time for our listeners. I don't think I can really offer you a Netflix recommendation, although I will say if you have Disney Plus, there's a fantastic documentary about the engineers that like set that thing up. It's pretty unreal. Do you know they own 27,000 acres in Florida? That's unbelievable.
For what?
In Disney World, like the resort.
They own, right.
Yeah,
right.
Like they have used at this point, I believe, like 1/11th of their property that they own. Isn't that kind of terrifying in one way?
Yeah, that is nuts. Yeah, they probably bought it though, and it was nothing but a big swamp.
Yeah, exactly. And see, in a weird way, I kind of, when I'm in a certain mood, maybe not after I've watched a cartel show, I'll pull up like a Google image of sort of like abandoned theme parks. That's a really fascinating sort of place to put yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
many, many, many thanks to Ron for taking the time to join us, especially to offer, the information on Leighton Vandrish as well. Obviously, you know, Ron jumped on initially to talk about Alden Smith, but Leighton is a subject of fascination. And it was also interesting to hear just kind of his thoughts as an NFL agent and somebody who's in the business about the misconceptions and about the losers. I mean, Ron's a cool guy, and it was really, really, really great for him to take some time and to kind of walk us through. And I think Alden Smith is somebody that is exciting, and, you know, the financials of it are, beneficial, it would seem, on paper for the Cowboys and their salary cap situation. But like Ron said, it does benefit Alden as well. So does really, truly, totally feel like a win-win for everybody involved. Before we get out of here, I think it's worth mentioning, because this was all over the place on Thursday, Dez Bryant, who has been, you know, doing a lot of things lately and certainly working to get back into the NFL. Dez Bryant tweeted that he had worked out with Dak Prescott, obviously Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, posted a photo. So it does seem like, there's at least some friendship that is getting some workouts in. I don't know that this necessarily means anything about Dez returning to the Cowboys, but at the very least, it was, it was something that was all over the internet. For what it's worth, speaking of receivers that have spent some time with the Dallas Cowboys, one of them will join us on Monday. Bryce Butler, friend of the show, will join us on Monday to talk about a variety of things. Very excited to see what Bryce has to say about everything that's gone on in his life and the Cowboys. Bryce, a big basketball and golf fan as well, so it'll be fun to chop it up with him. It's Friday, so hope you've got some great plans. Remember that after this episode, in your Blogging the Boys podcast feed, you will have an episode of Talking the Draft. That's today on Friday. Tomorrow, you will have an episode of Bruise and the Boys, and then you'll get a segment from my Saturday morning radio show on ESPN San Antonio, and then Monday you get Bryce Butler right here on the Ocho first thing Monday morning. Again, you get all of this just by subscribing to the Blog of the Boys podcast feed. We're available wherever you get your podcasts: Apple devices, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. We're all over the place. If you need a link, you need information, you need access, you can always hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at RJ Ochoa on both platforms. You can also shoot me an email, rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. You can also stay safe. We care about you. We love talking about the Dallas Cowboys. We love doing it with you. We're so grateful that you make us part of your Cowboys experience. And we're going to try to keep talking about America's team through these days, and hopefully entertain everybody involved and have a good time doing so. So with all that being said, you do me a favor, all right? You have the absolute best Friday of all time. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.